ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome in. Hope you're having a great hump day. It is Wednesday, September 17th. The Bills are home tomorrow, and we've got 2 hours of what I think is fine programming, and hope you'll stick around. In the next segment, I went downtown this morning. I had to get the picture taken for my driver's license. It was still a picture from when I was 16 on my driver's license. Yes. And I'll tell you about my 8 a.m. experience in downtown Buffalo in the Rath building. But first, I want to circle back. By the way, we are 1 week ago today is when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Okay? That's a week ago. And we are already back to the words on the left talking about the dangers of the right. And you're seeing it from D.C. You're seeing it in Albany. And I think yesterday or the day before. I mean, when President Trump was almost assassinated, within 2 weeks, you already had the rhetoric ramped right back up. And I think it even got worse heading into November, the attacks that were used against President Trump. And a month ago, you had people saying that he wasn't even shot. You had elected officials in this country saying that President Trump wasn't even really shot. I believe Gavin Newsom had a meme of him having ketchup on his ear, imitating the almost assassination of Donald Trump. So, I mean, this is to be expected, right? The rhetoric is going to now start ramping back up. And here we go. Again, because liberals want to continue to tell us it's our problem that Charlie Kirk that Charlie Kirk was assassinated because of conservatives. And again, David said this a few times in his show, talking about the numbers of liberals, extreme liberals, who say who find a way to justify murder of those who politically disagree with them. And we'll get into that a little bit. But I do want to circle back to, we talked about educators on Monday and my disappointment that so many educators are out there saying these things about Charlie Kirk, celebrating his death on social media. Like, to me, that's disgusting. And I don't want someone who thinks that because of one's opinion, it's okay to celebrate their assassination. I don't want you in the classroom with my child. Like, I don't want your politics being taught to my child. I want the whatever class it is you're supposed to be teaching, that's what I want you to teach my child. Well, now in Rhode Island, this is a story that, in my opinion, continues to just get more, more disappointing. Now, this is in, I said Rhode Island, at the Barrington High School, where a teacher, Benjamin Fillo, has been put on leave. Now, I hear that, and I say, I'm glad that the teacher has been put on leave. And there was a board meeting where students and parents were invited to speak to the school board. And here are two students who showed up to their school board meeting to call out and demand the firing of a teacher who celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination. This was Monday night.
And as a people of the youth, we've decided to come up and give our perspective on the subject, considering it is our teacher and one of the people that will guide our futures.
I don't know why that music is there. Let's play this one. Yeah, I don't know why the music's there. Anyway, it's these students, they're up and they're demanding the firing of a teacher who went on TikTok and said that Charlie Kirk was a piece of garbage. And went on to celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination, going on to say, inevitable white man assassin who thought that he was... So this is what he says on TikTok. This teacher has a TikTok page. He says, I have as much sympathy for Charlie Kirk right now as I do for all those farmers across the country who want socialist handouts from the government right now. This is a man who hated the LGBTQ community, who hated women's rights, who hated democracy, who thought that he was big man because he went to college campuses, debated young college students, and thought he proved how tough he was with his words that he studied ahead of time. What a piece of garbage. This is what happens. Now, this is a teacher. This is an educator. This is someone who's in the classroom with students all day. And where did he get these talking points? Where did he get this hated the LGBTQ, hated women's rights, hated democracy? Oh, those are the attacks of every Trump supporter from the Democrat Party for the last 10 years. Fascist. You hate women, you hate democracy, and people are out there. And this teacher, if you watch this video, you know, he's out there. And this is what happens. He is repeating exactly what the media has been saying for 10 years about Donald Trump. So students show up to the school board meeting. They say that they would like him to be fired. And he is put on leave, as we told you. Here's where it gets disappointing. So you have students and parents. One student says, as a student of Barrington High School, I do not feel comfortable or safe with our teachers supporting violence. We believe this world needs God because something as cruel as this should never be celebrated. Parents and staff members clash at the two-hour meeting as divisions ripple through the room between supporters and opponents of Philo. That is there are supporters of this man. There are people, mostly on the staff, who want the teacher back in the classroom. The parents are there saying, I don't want this guy near my kid. This guy is on there saying, because you don't agree with me politically, you deserve to be dead. So what does he feel about my children? God forbid a kid wears an American flag shirt into the classroom, this teacher will probably go off. One father threatens to pull their children out of the school district. Now, another parent, the gentleman in question this evening, he can speak as freely as he likes, but he still has to face consequences of promoting and celebrating, as I said, like a ghoul, the death of an innocent man. The parent goes on to say, I will conclude with this. My children will not be entering the Barrington school system this year. They will be homeschooled by me, where they will not be taught that this man, clearly, by this man, clearly, if he wanted to be consistent, shouldn't be teaching in this classroom. That if you disagree with someone, they should be shot. The outraged parent, who was a teacher in the school district until a few years ago, goes on to say, Now, I will give the union pushed back and said they were disappointed by his actions. The Barrington High School baseball coach, Jeff Turner, this guy puts his name out there, described Philo as a dedicated and life-changing teacher. Goes on to say, for one online comment in which he described a professional provocateur who championed intimidation for his personal profit, most of that post is entirely factual. Turner goes on to say, let's be clear. By putting a teacher on leave in this circumstance, it's a dangerous move. A dangerous move? He's as delusional and as out there as the teacher Benjamin Philo, who's on leave. Jeff Turner says that suspending this man is dangerous. I'm sorry. I think having a person teaching the next generation who thinks it's okay that someone was assassinated because he doesn't agree with them, I think having that man in the classroom is dangerous. The students are right. The parents are right. But man, I'd be more like that father if this happened in a school that my child was in, and you had teachers openly coming out and supporting the teacher who just celebrated the assassination of somebody. Not only did he celebrate it, he thought it was fine to go on social media and put this video, this statement out there. I would feel more like this father if all of a sudden you've got 20-30% of the teachers in the school supporting this Benjamin Philo coming back into the classroom. And just what a tone deaf, again, this is what happens when you are in your blue sky echo chamber. When you sit there on blue sky all day and read nothing but hatred toward the right, then you think, well, that's how most people must be thinking. Again, that's why I try to not make this show an echo chamber. Yes, you get my opinion, but I am open. I am open to all opinions, and I want to hear from everybody. Okay? I absolutely tried to push back. Again, yes, I have I'm very vocal about what I believe. That's why I get paid. Okay? But I always welcome someone to come in here and to break up the echo chamber. And I will always do that. But this is what happens when you have the blue sky echo chamber. You think everyone thinks like you. You think a majority of the country, again, you must be ignoring the results of the November election. You think everyone in the country thinks like you. And so you have these tone-deaf teachers who are now saying the guy who said, again, I will pull the quote from his TikTok, the guy who said, bye, Charlie. And one more, what a piece of garbage. This is what happens about a man who has not been dead for a week at this point. You say that keeping that man out of the classroom is dangerous. And you go and give these statements to the New York Post? Jeff Turner, you don't realize how tone deaf you sound? And again, if I was a teacher, I'd be like, I don't know if I can keep my kid in this school. I've got 30% of the teachers at this meeting pushing back on the parents saying that this guy was out of line and should not be allowed back in the classroom. 803-0930-star-930. John in Alden. John, thanks for kicking things off.
Well, I guess I'm going to have a different opinion than everybody else. That seems to be the case.
Well, John, that is the beauty of talk radio. Would love to know where you stand on this.
Well, here we go. So nobody mourned the death of the young man that was shot who tried to assassinate President Trump. Nobody liked him. Nobody mourned him. But it's a young man that lost his life. I mean, he tried to kill Trump, but he didn't, and he accidentally shot someone else. But still, nobody cares about his life because they decide they don't like him.
Wait, the guy who killed another person?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. The guy, he was a domestic terrorist, of course.
Right, but nobody cares about his life. If all life is sacred and you're supposed to like it just because you don't like what that guy did.
He was taken out to protect everyone else at that rally.
Right. No, I understand it, but nobody cared about his death. Nobody cared.
I'm
about
sure his parents did.
Right, but nobody cared about Bin Laden's death. Bin Laden wasn't killing people. He just was orchestrating things, but nobody cared about him. So people pick and choose whose life they care about based on their actions and their ideologies. And that's what a lot of people think that, you know, they hear that Charlie Kirk is a hate monger and did all this bad.
Okay, but who did Charlie Kirk kill?
No, but just,
it's not a fair comparison, John.
No, but they pick and choose who they feel a certain way about.
Yeah, I apologize. I apologize if it's crazy to expect people to not celebrate the death of someone because politically you don't agree. And I apologize that I don't show any sympathy to the man who's guilty of almost killing the president of the United States and killing a father and a husband.
Right.
Or Osama bin Laden. Like, Osama bin Laden tore down the towers. He changed this country forever.
Right, and so didn't David Bellavia even go overseas to shoot at people and their...
Yeah, protecting this country, protecting his troops.
No, but it's not self-defense. You can't go in someone else's country and just go house to house. You're basically trespassing on their yards, and they defend themselves, and all of a sudden you're a hero. So, I mean...
David Bellavia is an American hero. He was defending this country. Those are people who were fighting our troops. Those were people that wanted to bring harm on this country.
Right, but they weren't here doing it. You're going over to their yard like retaliation.
Do you want to wait till they come here?
I don't know. If I get out of my house and I don't like somebody or they've done something to me and I go to their house and attack them in their yard, I'm committing a crime. You're allowed self-defense. You're not allowed to attack.
Did they attack your house first? We were attacked, John, and we were making sure that those attacks never happen again.
Right, but our ideology brought us over there to fight people that didn't personally attack him.
But they were people who funded the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and they were people that had a ton of money that were planning, that hated this country. Like, I don't think people understand. They hated this country. They would like it if this country was completely obliterated. Yeah, I think it's justifiable to take them out and make sure that they do not have the power to come over here and obliterate this country.
But if somebody in the military grabs a rifle and goes over and meets someone in another country with a rifle and they've never met each other before and they're just killing each other because of an ideology, how is that any different than what happened to Charlie Kirk?
Again, Charlie Kirk was not funding money and was not supporting people to go over and obliterate a country. It's not comparable at all.
There's no insurgent, a young guy that's 14 that put any money toward funding any attacks here. He just had a rifle. He's in his yard, and somebody came in his yard with a uniform and aimed at him.
Again, John, you are talking about war.
Defense.
You are talking about war. We're talking about someone that was just on a campus giving an opinion.
Right.
It's not comparable.
You're picking and choosing who you care about. That's the point.
John, how old are you?
Older.
You're older than me?
Yeah.
Okay, so my question of do you remember 9/11, I guess wouldn't. But I think too many people do forget 9/11, John. That's not comparable. Again, I mean, hey, I guess I got myself with that when I said I'd take all opinions. That's not comparable at all. Charlie Kirk was not Al-Qaeda. Charlie Kirk was not ISIS. Charlie Kirk had not shot anybody. It's not comparable at all. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't feel bad that Osama bin Laden's dead. I don't feel bad that the guy who tried to kill Trump and did kill a father and a husband, I don't care that he's dead. And yes, David Bellavia is a hero, an American hero, just like many of the troops that fought for the freedom of this country. David protected his troops and fought for our freedom. That's not anywhere close to a comparison. And yeah, you go over there and fight the war there, so the war's not fought here. It's amazing to me how many people live through 9/11 and then have that mindset. 9/11 is something that I still think about on a regular basis. The idea that people hate us. It's so funny how we make everything right and left. Yet, again, on the other side of the ocean, we're just viewed as America. And there are people who just want to obliterate America. They don't care where you stand politically. And 24 years later, the amount of people who lived through 9/11, who went to work on September 11, 2001, and have forgotten those attacks, it's disappointing. Just like these teachers that are supporting this guy who went on a TikTok rant and says that he should have his job back in the classroom. That's disappointing. 803-0930, star 930. We'll go to Brian in Grimsby and you after this.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh yeah, Monster Ballads from 1999, the compilation two-disc album. We're playing the best as bumps here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Talking about this teacher in Rhode Island. Yes, kind of building off of the show on Monday. This teacher is put on leave for what he said about Charlie Kirk. And now you've got teachers that are fighting for this guy to be back in the classroom, even though parents and students are saying they wouldn't be comfortable with him back in the classroom. Again, it, to me, illustrates when you're in that blue sky echo chamber, that liberal echo chamber, that MSNBC echo chamber, again, I don't think you should be in any echo chamber. 803-0930, starting at 30. Brian is in Grimsby, Ontario. Brian, great to hear from you again.
You as well. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
I don't know whether to be angry at you or to respect you for the amount of time you gave that last caller before the break. I don't know what planet he's from. He never told you his age. You asked. He's living in a planet that we don't live in. And that's the sad part. You know, I'm 60. You're probably younger. There was a time when people who, what we used to call crazy or unhinged, they would have to, you know, type out a letter, lick an envelope, put a stamp on it, send it to their local paper, and then they throw it in the garbage. A friend of mine had a great moment in time a few years ago, and we were talking around a fire at a campfire here in Canada. And I said, do you think people are getting dumber? And he said, you know what? With the internet, dumber just got louder.
Yeah.
Now all you have to do is hit a keystroke, have a website, a internet, whatever. Be an influencer. And the dumbest people, I am sorry, are the loudest. And then people who are logical and reasonable, Charlie Kirk, what did he do? He said, family, friends, faith. He said, father, stay with your family.
Yep.
Keep an intact family. Do the right thing. What is wrong with that? Why was that violent? It wasn't. And to have a teacher, which your kids, I mean, my kids are in their 20s and 30s, they're gone, but your kids are going to be in this system in America and in Canada, my nephews and nieces, and these teachers now are getting exposed because now they used to say, well, we disagree and we disagree. Now with what's happened, they're now saying, we hate your guts.
Yeah.
If you support God, faith, freedom, you support your country, your neighbors, if you support anything that is traditional, we don't just disagree with you. We want you dead. And that's the first time. And it's almost like what happened to him, it exposed, it's like the Band-Aid came off the wound. And all these liberals who were into media and academia and you know, Hollywood, they used to just go, yeah, we're just disagreeing. And now when let this happen, now they're just going, yep, we want everyone who doesn't agree with us dead. And that, I mean, I'm a Christian. I believe it's like Charlie Kirk was. If you talk to him, it's last days. The Bible says it's the end of times. There is something going on that God will fix. But this is almost a moment in time when everyone's going to go, oh, I remember that day. I remember that day when everyone either went pro-family and all the dark people went pro-evil and assassination and darkness and deviation. It was almost a little moment in time, and it's just it's an exact moment in time where the people who always said, oh, free speech, and we would go, you know, 10 years ago, oh, no, but if I'm a conservative, I can't be on CNN, I can't be on MSNBC. But that was just speaking, and then they'd have a token person on MSNBC or, you know, New York Times. Now it's like, the gloves are off.
Yep.
Now it's like they want us gone off this planet. They don't want us just going to Tennessee or Texas or whatever. They want us dead. And that's the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my 60 years on this planet. And I live in liberal Canada, believe me.
Yeah.
I've seen this stuff. And, you know, I'm not a political person,
right,
but I am a religious person. And there is this break that happened, I think, with Charlie Kirk. And then when you see people react and are gleeful, how could you be gleeful? I wouldn't be gleeful if a person on the left with blue hair and nose piercings got shot because they were on a campus in Canada. I would be horrified.
Brian, I would be just as outraged if something like this happened to someone who was on the complete opposite end of me, and I would be asking questions. You know, conservatives, how did this happen? I mean, but we, like David said earlier, we have crazies on our side, and we call them out.
Yeah. I think the difference is we call them out. On, and again, I'm not political. I know that's what the system says: right, left, center. We have right, left, center here, and then we have really right and really all. I think Charlie Kirk stood for just being decent.
Yeah,
and he was killed for being decent, and that's the worst thing. If he was like Alex Jones and screaming and yelling, and I'm not advocating for his death either, but there's been crazy people on the right and the left. I wouldn't advocate for their death either. But Charlie was just a guy who had two kids and a wife and went to church every Sunday.
And wanted to talk to people. Yep.
He never yelled. I went back in the last week and I watched videos because I used to watch them all. But then even if people were blue-haired, yellow, pink, pierced, he would say, "I love you. Jesus loves you." How can you be angry with that? How can you kill him for saying, "I don't agree with your lifestyle, but God loves you"?
Yeah. No,
someone puts a bullet through his neck.
It's incredibly sad. And you're right. I mean, the sad thing is there are people, Brian, I appreciate the call. There are people, and I've had to unfriend about 15 people, block 15 people. I never do that. But the reason I did was because if you're celebrating Charlie Kirk's death, right? Well, again, I'm not in the public eye. You know, Charlie Kirk went out there. He put himself out there. He listened to people. But I think on a much smaller level, when I see people that I know, people that at one point in my life I was friends with, I'm not saying anyone I'm friends with now has said anything, but people from college, from high school, and I just think, well, so if something happened to me and they said it was because of something I said on the radio or put on Facebook, you would justify that because you don't agree with my politics? And that's the question I ask. Because if you're celebrating Charlie Kirk, well, okay, so then you'll celebrate any conservative because you can justify it, because you didn't like their politics. And again, I know it's not most people. It's not everyone on the left. It's not most people on the left, right? There's crazies. But it is incredibly sad that there are people celebrating the assassination of someone because they didn't agree with their politics. And it's sad there are people like John in Alden who think the way they think. And they want to draw that kind of parallel. I have a lot of people saying, "Joe, why is this kind of..." I think it's important to let you hear what people that don't think like us, how they think. I could not disagree with him more. And neither could Joe in Buffalo. And Joe in Buffalo is going to address that now. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
This John and Alden really set me on fire. I'm a veteran, and he has nerve to criticize a guy like David Bellavia, who's a hero, who went where he was sent by our government and did what he had to do and came back. He's lucky he's alive based on what he went through. This fool, I would love to meet him. So I really would. I would pay for that. I can't even believe. It's bad enough all week what's been going on with Charlie Kirk's assassination, all the comments, all the ridiculous idiots that are making nasty comments. That's one thing. But this did it. This tells me we're in major trouble.
It's
major trouble.
It's sad that mindset's out there, Joe. And I could not disagree with him more. By the way, did not know that's where he was going to take the conversation, or I probably wouldn't have taken the call.
I think you did a great job with it, given being caught off guard and dealing with a moron such as that. And I hope he's still listening. I hope he hears me. My name is Joe from Buffalo. Oh, my God. I can't even tell you. I'm on fire, but that's beside the point.
Well, Joe, I agree with you, man. Thank you for your service, and I appreciate the call. Joe in Buffalo. Let's go down to Holland, a different John. John, thanks for hanging on.
Well, yeah, let's make sure that I enunciate correctly. I'm John from Holland, not John from Alden. And I don't need anybody calling in hating on me.
No, of course not, John.
Joe, you know, I was telling Tanner, like, it came up in my feed. Somebody tried to liken the death of Charlie Kirk to saying, you know, effectively that the same people that supported him would have potentially, like, supported Hitler because it was similar ideologies. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, at no point do I remember ever hearing Charlie Kirk advocating for the death of 7 to 10 million people solely based on race. What he did was say, we need to break down those barriers. Like, can we have an open conversation? And I'll be honest, I didn't always agree on his tactics, right? But again, it kind of comes down to that, if you're stuck in that echo chamber, right, which a lot of college campuses are. So these kids have to be challenged in a way and questioned in a manner which can come off sounding combative, because they've never had anybody ever question them before, because they've never been around anybody who's had a different opinion. So what did he do wrong? He forced people to actually take a hard look at what they really thought. But I don't know, if that teacher in Rhode Island, you want to get your job back. You know, if you were a college professor and you were already speaking to, unfortunately, most college campuses are liberal. If you were preaching to your own choir, I should say, you know, I could see that maybe there'd be a claim to be able to be made. But when we're talking about truly impressionable youth, elementary school, grade school, even high school, where their opinions are formed based on the people that teach them.
Right.
I don't think you have any place. And I would say that for any public-facing figure, a teacher or an elected position, if you celebrate this, regardless of the side of the aisle that you're on or happen to fall on, I think you are no longer qualified to hold that position that the public entrusted you with. And I hear every politician saying that our children are our future, right? Where are we standing up for that belief when people are saying something in a public setting, publicly on a social media platform? How the hell do I actually know what's being said when that classroom door is shut and locked?
Right, exactly. And, you know, John, to your point of the college campuses, you know, Charlie Kirk would go and he would give a different opinion than most professors. And these professors that would push back on having conservatives on campus, I've always wanted to ask this question. Why do you think it's okay for your opinion to be in the classroom, yet another opinion can't come and talk to students who want to listen?
Well, and that's where the reading assignments come in, Joe. You remember college. You hear everything that comes out of the professor's mouth, but then you go read about the stuff that they don't want to talk about. It is an agenda. It is an agenda in higher education to force a particular ideology. And thank God that there are conservative schools out there that offer the opposite. But you know what I would like? How about schools just offer all the opinions? You know, aren't we there to embrace and encourage critical thinking, allow people to generate their own opinions and move forward on the information that's given to them, all of the information?
That's right.
Not a sheltered amount.
I would love to, you know, hey, we're going to have an assembly of opinions. I mean, if there's a local district that wants an assembly of opinions, I'm open. I'm open for work. Let me know. I'd love to give a presentation on my opinions and, you know, stand up there against a Democrat. I think it would be eye-opening. And you're right. I mean, why not, especially for high school students, let them know, hey, there are two sides in politics, and you're probably only hearing one in the classroom.
Right, and you may only be hearing one at home. And when you're only hearing, and potentially you're hearing the opposite one at home. So how are you supposed to say, well, I trust the person that's teaching me, but I also trust what's being said in my house? Like, we don't give that. We used to give that as a country. Joe, I'll tell you, though, if this open forum, if you can get a panel together, I will sit in the crowd with a little Joe Beamer flag, man. This would be fantastic.
John, I look forward to that. Hey, someone reached out to me over the weekend and said, would you ever be interested in, you know, going out and you know, doing kind of a thing where you have Democrats and Republicans? And I'm always open for that because, John, as I have said for as long as I've been on the radio, my whole goal is to talk with everyone. It's to talk with you. It's to talk with Democrats. It's to talk with people that are on, you know, the Green Party. Like, I want to – you can't – come together. You can't have unity if we're not going to talk with each other. And that's the one thing I try to accomplish on this very show.
I hope that it actually comes to fruition someday. And you know what I really believe is the same thing. Unity also doesn't mean total agreement.
Right.
It doesn't mean total alliance. Unity means that we compromise. You don't compromise if you don't listen to all sides and factor in everything. Today, our compromise is just simply as black and white and as polarized as we are. It's either A, you're a bigot because you like this guy, or B, you're a lunatic on the left side because you supported and you celebrated his death. Where's the middle ground? We've lost it entirely.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know what? Unity also means, as you said, John, sometimes it just means that we have to agree to disagree.
To disagree.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, sir. Well, I do not disagree that this was a good call.
Well, no, I always agree that this is a fantastic call. John in Holland, thank you so much for the call. 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, we are expecting a press conference on the proposed tunnel on the 33. We're going to bring that to you live. So I don't want to be unfair. If you're hanging on, probably call back when the press conference is over. I don't want you hanging on through the whole press conference. But we are going to take that live from the New York State DOT, updating us on the 33 tunnel project. And I have some opinions, regardless of what they say in the press conference. I still have my strong opinions on what I think won't happen in the next 20 years. So we'll take that as soon as it starts. You're listening to Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Good afternoon. I'm Rich Fontana, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation here in Western New York. Our Commissioner, Breach Reese-Dominguez, has asked me to provide an update to the community on the next steps this department intends to take regarding the Kensington Expressway. As everyone here no doubt is aware, the Department of Transportation had advanced a project to reimagine the Kensington Expressway, the whole corridor, and reconnect the neighborhoods of the cities of Buffalo's east side that were wrongly divided by this highway's construction. This project was years in the making and was a product of extensive community outreach with local stakeholders, including Restore Our Community Coalition, who advocated for this project for decades. We advanced the project as far as we could go, and we're on the verge of getting started while construction was to begin late last year when the courts put that work on pause and later ruled that the environmental impact statement must be done on the project, effectively hampering all of our efforts to date to bring that project to fruition. We're now confronted with a completely different landscape. There's new leadership in Washington and different policies and fiscal priorities as it relates to transportation. I want to be clear about this. The Department of Transportation remains committed to doing a project along the 33 Expressway. We will conduct a full environmental impact statement as directed by the court. Today, we are announcing Queen City Forward, an initiative to grow this project from the ground up. It's emblematic of what we want to achieve here with this project along the 33, and truly brings the Queen City forward. We want the entire city to be seen, heard, and understood. The people of the city must have their say. To that end, these are the initial steps that we will be taking. We will be conducting a nationwide search for a new project director, someone who has driven innovative projects with innovative design and delivery and knowledge of major project delivery requirements, including public engagement and consensus building. This won't be an easy task, but we will give it our best to do so. We already have some key new team members in place here in Region 5. Our regional director is Eric Mecca. Eric, raise your hand. Eric's our regional director, 30 plus years with the department. He's an engineer and a people person, so Eric's a great addition to the team here. Cameron Schultz is our regional design engineer. Cameron's been with the department over 25 years and takes over for Sanjo, who many of you have seen over the past. Ryan Whalen is our new PIO, local media, very, very knowledgeable about Western New York. And Tajay Jenkins-Jones, who's filming the camera there, is our community outreach specialist, and he is a member of the Buffalo community since he was born. So we have a good team in place, and I'll remain on the team as well to help out and do the best I can with local officials and help move the project forward. So we will be kicking off an outreach and listening tour beginning in October in areas across the region. We want to hear from as many people as possible before we formulate a new plan for the project along the 33. After we hear from the community, we will develop a scope for a new EIS. The EIS will include a traffic study and a potential fill-in and will include a traffic study on a potential fill-in option. We intend to do an in-depth analysis of where those 75,000 cars a day would go if we fill in the Kensington, and what the air quality impacts will be if traffic is diverted to other parts of the city. This will take time. Federal law requires us to start from the beginning on this. We will be, meaning that the EIS will likely take up to 3 or more years of work to complete before construction can even begin. I also want to say a few words about the Skajakwita Expressway today. We have not forgotten about the Skajakwita. But at this point, our priority right now is the Kensington Expressway. Unfortunately, the legal proceedings surrounding the Kensington Expressway have impacted our plans related to the Skajakwita. Instead of beginning a study of the Skajakwita corridor this year, as we originally intended to do, our focus is now starting on a new EIS for the 33. In closing, the Skajakwita study and corridor improvement project will remain on the Regional Transportation Improvement Plan, as you know the TIP, as a future potential project. Let me be clear about this, folks. When a project on the 198 is ready for construction, funding will be in place to do that project. This is where we are. We look forward to re-engaging with the community in the coming months. We want to hear, listen, and collaborate. Thanks for taking your time today. I actually forgot to put my glasses on, so now that they're here, I really didn't do that. But I want to thank Ryan for the larger print. I'm here to answer any questions if you have at this point, and you know, go easy on me.
What happened to the former project director, and why the need to go back and start from the beginning?
Well, we're in a process now where we have to do a full EIS, and that involves a new process. And the former director, if you talk about Sajo, she retired. 34 great years of service here at DOT, very hard worker, put a lot of time in. She deserves her retirement. So, you know, it's just timing of the issue. Very, very devoted to the project, though.
Why wasn't the EIS done before?
We felt an EA was an appropriate approach, but the courts have said that EIS is the way to go, so we're going to do that.
Gotcha. And there was already a public outreach push.
Right? We were everywhere.
Do you hope to gain now that you didn't gain before with getting the public's reaction?
New ideas. You know, it's a project that's got a lot more legs now. People know it's a real project. Something could happen along the 33. So we're looking for some new ideas, people's ideas, what they felt about the old project, what they feel about the new project. And they'll have more information now as well with the traffic study that we announced. People will be able to make some more opinions of their own based on some actual information.
That includes capping. One of the ideas, the open ideas, includes mm-hmm. capping of or filling in the Kensington,
sure.
like some of these local activist groups have been trying to push for, rather than a capping of the expressway.
Oh, it does include a fill-in option. We're going to study that.
Rich, the rendering that we've seen, the governor's office has promoted them. They've been at different events in Buffalo over the past few years. That rendering of the tunnel, is that irrelevant at this point? Is that an option at this point? I mean, is that just, it could look like that, it could not look like that, basically what you're saying?
Yeah, as we're out in the community, if residents think that that's a great option that they want us to move forward, come to the meetings and express those opinions, I'd like to hear them. We're hoping to hear that feedback, see what happens, see what they want to see.
It's all subject to change now, correct?
It's an open process at this point. We're starting fresh. We're starting with a full EIS. We have a new team in place. The new team's not reflective of the old team not, being anything issue. It's just timing, but it's great to start off with a fresh team and go out to the public on a fresh approach.
The previous EA ruled out a fill-in option for not being feasible. Why is that all of a sudden now back on the table being considered?
Well, I would think that with further review, you look at all options. EISs are a little bit more encompassing, and it gives us a chance to look at it.
I think we should clarify, too, we're going to look at the fill-in option as we do this traffic study prior to the EIS, so that we know what kind of project we're looking at as we move to the EIS. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a part of it, or it could be a part of it, but the traffic study is going to come first.
Before the EIS?
Yes.
GBNRDC, other folks I've spoken to said, a fill-in option doesn't work unless DOT actively looks at the arterials that they control leading in and out of Buffalo.
Sure.
Will that be studied as part of this traffic study? Because you can't fill that in and then dump all that traffic on the Walden without updating Walden or Genesee or Broadway or any street here.
My precursory knowledge of EIS as it will include it, because you need to have a cohesive plan of traffic, and those starts and stops will be part of a plan. But, you know, this is a little ahead of the game. Right now we're really doing the look at the community involvement portion of this process. We'll have more information about the EIS as we go, and that information will be also presented probably at community meetings so residents know really what an EIS does.
So is there the opportunity to reach out to the folks that were opposed to lots of these options for you guys to start fresh to reach out to those groups?
Yeah, I mean, we've held community meetings in the past. We had stakeholder meetings, and everyone was, you know, at the table. We were all discussing things. We know people's views on the project. You know, and I think with the DOT coming forward now with this information today, that helps everybody really. And we were at a meeting in July over the summer, and people were starting to get excited about this process and the new collaboration and the EIS.
Do we have any open meeting coming up, or for anyone watching right now?
Yeah, well, we don't have a date and a time set yet, but we're assuming the first meeting will probably be in Buffalo, of course, and then in Eastside. And then look for that. We'll need your help to get that information out to the public, and we'll be providing that very soon to you. I'd say look for it, you know, October, you know, November, that type situation, and we'll continue to have meetings. And then once the meetings are complete, we'll compile that information, see what project is buildable, what's able to be done, and then start the EIS process.
You also alluded to an influence in the current administration in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I use the term hampering, is there an issue there? Can you elaborate that on more?
You know, I don't want to go too much into funding, but I would say that I am not aware of any funding changes with the project. So, you know, there's transportation dollars that are meant for transportation projects, and this is a transportation project.
One more question.
The current administration has said reconnected community projects are off the table for that. Is this still being classified as a reconnecting community project?
Right at this point, the project is open. You know, we're starting fresh, so it doesn't really have a title. And this is the title, you know, how do we move Buffalo forward, essentially? So that's not really along those veins. And we'll see where that goes as far as the project goes and what the people want to see. I want to reiterate, though, the EIS process will not start with one project, of course. Multiple items will go into the EIS. Multiple things will be studied. It won't just focus on one project.
A lot of people felt the process for engaging the public was mm-hmm. flawed out of the gate. They didn't feel that mm-hmm. there was an effort by the DOT to invite anyone who didn't support the project, you know, outside of Rock, for example. How can you convince, and what will you do to convince those people who felt that way about the initial project that their opinion will be heard this time around, and it's not just a foregone conclusion that a cap is going to be the next time?
Yeah, well, I think with the DOT coming forward with essentially a blank slate, some type of you know, information have to be given to the public. They're going to want to know why they're at the meeting. We can't just say, well, what do you think about the 33? So we got to give some, you know, input, maybe even a survey of some kind, who knows. But these meetings will start to take shape, and you'll know more about the meetings in the future. But these are going to be open to the public, you know, many of them. You know, there's not going to just be one or two. And people can have their voice heard. They can write in and get the process started.
Great, and then let's wrap up.
And also at the past stakeholder meetings, all residents for or against the tunnel at the time were always welcome to speak. I always afforded much more time actually to the opposition than to the proponents.
You listen to a press conference from the DOT on the 33 project on WBEN.
The original project was announced. It got widespread support from mm-hmm. state lawmakers, local lawmakers. What has this initiative now gotten in terms of support?
We've reached out to local elected officials, or, you know, we've received good feedback on this community input. I know I was speaking to the mayor, and he's like, you know, is the community going to be heard? And, you know, that's a main priority of the administration, that the community is heard, and we're committing to that.
It's fair to characterize this as a complete reset of the Kensington project?
Yeah, fully fair. Yep. Yep.
2 years for the EIS, so construction could begin in 2028?
Well, we're talking about 2 or 3 years for the EIS. So then they would start after that process. So
it's premature to give a date
when it starts. But once the EIS starts, we're here in 2 to 3 years. It's pretty comprehensive. It'll be Nate Benson will be reading that for weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming.
And there it is, the DOT announcing that all options are back on the table when it comes to the 33 Expressway. As Nate Benson said, a complete reset. And that is what it is. So forget the AI video of driving through the tunnel. That is no longer the main plan. It's on the table. But seemingly the fill-in option is on the table as well, might be even more on the table, as it was mentioned there several times. I just want to take you back to February of last year. This is what we were told by Governor Kathy Hochul.
To lose $55 million from President Joe Biden, to lose $1 billion from the state of New York that was hard fought for, and to lose the momentum that has been created in the energy of this community, all because a handful of naysayers want to stop progress? No, we've done this before. We in Western New York are notorious for letting the voices of a few dominate the will of the majority. I will not let that happen.
Ooh, so that's when she came here and she said it's a done deal. It's going to be a tunnel. That was February of 24. You remember people were protesting it. We don't want to be at the end of a toxic tunnel. And now in September of 25, we are told complete reset. Now, again, if you're wondering, Joe, what does this, I still... And this is no offense to anyone at the DOT. I know there are some great people at the DOT. So this is no offense to them. I am still of the belief that 20 years from now, when I am in my late 50s, the 33 will look the exact same as it does today. There will be no tunnel. There'll be no fill-in. It will look exactly as it does today. But I would love to know your thoughts. 803-0930, star 930. They're going to do a tour. It's going to start in October. Well, we don't need to wait till October. Let's do our tour now. What if you had the money, the $55 million, the $1 billion, the $1.05 billion that Kathy Hochul alleged in February of 16 would be lost if they didn't put the tunnel in. That's what she told us. It would be lost. No, the money would leave Western New York. She threatened to take $1 billion away from the city of Buffalo if the tunnel didn't happen. Well, according, thanks to some great questioning by Buffalo media, we were just told that that funding, there's been no changes to funding, and that this reset does not mean a change to funding. Again, 18 months ago, am I doing my math right? 18 months, we were told there is no funding if this tunnel doesn't happen. We have now been told that is a lie, and that the funding looks the exact same as it did in February of 04. February 16th of 04, if you're looking for an exact date. So they mentioned the fill-in option. If you're wondering, what was EIS, Environmental Impact Study, which will take 3 years, by the way. And that is after they have ideas on the table. Again, this last process, people said they went to the public meetings and the DOT was ignoring them, that, you know, it was already a foregone conclusion. Very similar to what people say about the Democrat Party forums for Buffalo mayor. But I'd like to know from you, if you had a say, if the DOT is listening now, which there's a chance they are, what would you like to see done with the 33 Expressway? And remember, whatever you say you want done with it, if it is filling it in and bringing back the Humboldt Parkway, then you have to have a plan for the remaining traffic. Okay? The 198, they said that, you know, it's still, the plan is still there, but there's no announce of doing anything. So the 198's a mess. Can we just sit here and admit the 198's a mess? Sean Ryan, a few years ago, wanted to completely remove the 198. He just released a statement on the 33 announcement. Here's what Sean Ryan has to say. Oh, is that, that was it? Okay. Sean Ryan wanted to remove the 198. Now, if the fill-in option actually happens on the 33 Expressway, then the 198 cannot be removed. The 198, in my opinion, if you're going to fill it in, if you're going to bring back Humboldt Parkway, then you need another expressway as the 198 once was for that traffic to get downtown. Yes, I realize 25,000 less people go downtown. I was downtown this morning. It was a ghost town. People are still going downtown. You have Saber games, right? Yeah, are they going down the way they were? No, but come on. We need an outlet to downtown Buffalo from the north towns. And if you live in Cheektowaga, Amherst, if you live in the city, the 33 is the quickest way to get downtown. So how do you manage that traffic? If the fill-in option is actually going to work. Because you can't just dump those cars on Parkside, on Hurdle, on Main Street. Main Street, which, by the way, has been Main Street past Canisius University. Again, your car goes through a rigorous test to get downtown. That street has been the exact same since I went to school, and I graduated in 2011. So what's the plan for the cars if the fill-in is your choice? And your remarks to Kathy Hochul, Governor Hochul, I'd love to hear her comments. Now, we know if Governor Hochul is going to follow the Mark Poloncarz path, that she won't even comment on this. But what do you say to Kathy Hochul, who said if you don't put the tunnel, you lose over $1 billion? That today, unless there's something that we weren't told at this press conference, that today seems like a lie that she was telling just to push this project forward. Let's go to Christian in North Tonawanda.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm pretty disgusted because I really don't want to see a total reset on this thing. I want to see a total cancellation of this thing. To think about spending $1 billion on something that's going to fill in a road that's already used or to put a cap over it when we have especially seniors in this area that need incredible amounts of help. I mean, Tom Bowerly has done shows on it. I believe you've done shows on it on how badly the nursing homes are. I have personal experience with both my parents have Alzheimer's disease, and the help that they need is just not available. Sure, if you have $7,000 to $10,000 a month, you can go into a very nice facility and be taken care of. But outside of that, the facilities are awful. And to spend $1 billion, where do you want to put it? That's where you want to put it. And I would tell Kathy Hochul she should be ashamed of herself for spending something on something as ridiculous as a cover or filling in with a bunch of dirt a road that doesn't need to be touched.
All right, Christian in North Tonawanda. I've got no pushback, man. Appreciate the call. Again, now we've been told. Now I don't know what to believe anymore, though, because we were told from Kathy Hochul this could only be spent on traffic, on roads and stuff, right? It was designated for highways. She also said if we don't put a tunnel, the money's lost. So what do you believe now? And again, we have a man running for mayor who was on my show when I was on in the morning with Brian. He came on when he was still talking to us. He was on with Brian Higgins, who said they wanted to completely remove the 198. Well, how does that plan work into this plan? I'd love to know. Let's go to Patrick on a cell phone. Patrick, thanks for calling in.
Sure, Beamer. You know, before I start with my little diatribe, whatever happened to Terry from Texas? I never hear him call in anymore. I don't know. Maybe I missed something, but I always enjoyed hearing from him. Terry, where are you?
That's a great question, Patrick. You know, I follow him on Twitter. I'll see if everything's all right. I'll catch up with him.
All right. You know, this whole 33, this is what happens in Buffalo when the government tries to shove things down people's throats, take it or leave it. You know, all the misinformation and disinformation campaign they ran to show that, oh, more people are in favor of the tunnel. And then it was proven that, you know, the woman who came out with that study was on their payroll and she lied about the results. Well, yeah, now we just forget about that. But anyway, to get to the question about filling it in, how can you have anyone represent Buffalo, whether they're appointed by one of these local schmokel hokels or their elected officials. How can you represent Buffalo and have any decision-making powers when it comes to Buffalo if you do not only embrace Olmsted, but absolutely love Olmsted? If you don't understand, and I'm not blaming the average citizen, but an elected official or an appointed official, if you don't understand that Olmsted is what made Buffalo Buffalo, then get the hell out of office and go represent a town that is not an Olmsted city. Olmsted designed Buffalo's parks and parkways, making it the envy of the rest of the country. You know how many people wish that their city was designed by Olmsted? But here in Buffalo, we don't even have elected officials who embrace it. Where is that traffic going to go, Joe? Most of that traffic will take the New York State Thruway, which also encircles the city. You can get on the Thruway and get from Cheektowaga, the airport, or wherever else, and go right downtown if you want to, probably quicker. Actually, the study by those who were not in favor of the tunnel came out, and it's exactly the same timing. So,
well, Patrick,
my only
thing to that, I grew up on Mount Vernon in Amherst, and let me tell you, I mean, you're adding 15 minutes. I mean, I took the train downtown when I was a kid, so that's your outlet. But if you live in Amherst, even if you live in East Amherst, I mean, you take the 90, that is adding significant time to your trip downtown. I do think there needs to be some kind of outlet where people could go off the 33 when the fill-in starts, that can handle that type of traffic.
Yeah, the other thing is, obviously, you put the traffic right back where it came from, on the what is now underutilized and unused roads that are the city of Buffalo's beautiful roadway system, the arterial system, designed beautifully. But, of course, we just, you know, ignore that and put a highway in. But you have to have the lights timed. Obviously, those roads would have to be upgraded as far as how about paving them and making them nice. But
exactly.
All that money that they now have in hand to do the crazy project about a tunnel, half of it, it would only take half the amount to fill it in and to restore Buffalo. You know, they all talk about, and it's on even the governor who's supposedly from Buffalo, come on. You talk about rebuilding the east side. The quickest way to rebuild the east side of Buffalo, which affects all of Buffalo, which affects all of Erie County, the quickest way to revitalize the east side of Buffalo is to fill it in. They all know it, but this is a legacy project from the majority leader, Crystal People Stokes. They're all afraid of her. That's why nobody spoke up against it. You really believe that not one council member, including your friend who's on TV and radio talking about anything from A to Z on a nightly basis, do you think he or any of his colleagues are really against filling it in, or are they just too afraid to speak up against the majority leader, Crystal People Stokes? Are they waiting for her to retire so that the correct project can take place? My hat is off to those people who stood up to the misinformation and the disinformation campaign that the state DOT, and when you say state DOT, you're talking about the governor. Let's lay it out. The governor runs...
Patrick, all great stuff, but I'm up against a news break, man. I appreciate the call. Patrick on a cell. When we come back, Michael Gaynor, he's running for mayor of Buffalo. He is on the line, as well as Donna in Amherst. And you, 803-0930, star 930, back after this.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yes. You know what's far away? Anything happening to the 33. That's what we learned today. If you're just joining us, a complete reset on the 33 Project. It will start with more public hearings. We're having a public hearing right here, 803-0930, star 930. Again, if you're just joining us, I said that twice in 30 seconds. I played for you the audio from February of 24, where Governor Hochul said, if you don't build the tunnel, you lose the $1 billion. We've now heard that that's not true. And that the money is still there. The funding is still the same. We had Michael Gaynor on hold. I was about to go to him. Hopefully he'll call back. If not, we'll have him on again. 803-0930. Star 930 gets you on to the show. And, you know, where do we start? Because I want to focus on the what seems to be a lie. Like, that's where my head goes. Because, again, they can talk. I don't think at the end of the day anything's going to happen. And that is my Buffalo attitude. I mean, I didn't think we were going to get a new stadium until, you know, I mean, it's there. I mean, but again, the Peace Bridge project, Bass Pro Shop. I mean, a lot of things have been announced and they fail in the city of Buffalo. But if you were given the $1 billion and you were told you had to spend it on the highways, what are you doing? How are you going to work around that? 803-0930, star 930. Again, the tunnel was obviously the preferred idea of state Democrats. That was the one that was selected and endorsed by Governor Hochul, State Senator Sean Ryan. Tim Kennedy was a part of this until he went to Congress, so I don't really want to group him in too much because, again, he's in Congress now. Would love to get his reaction. We had him on Hardline Sunday. Maybe I'll contact his office to see what his reaction to the news is. But now, new public hearings, and every idea is on the table. And then after those public hearings, they have to do an environmental impact study. So we are still years away from anything starting, if anything actually starts. Let's go to Betty Jean Grant. She is part of the team that wants to see the 33 filled in. Betty Jean, how are you feeling this afternoon?
I'm feeling like we have had a victory. I feel very, very enthusiastic because that's what we fought for. I joined Eastside Parkways Coalition 2 years ago because I could not tolerate the idea of putting a tunnel in one of the best parkways in the whole world, the Armstead Parkways. I believe that Humboldt Parkway deserved to have a fill-in. I never will support a tunnel. People that lived in Humboldt Parkway, the residents, the neighborhood around it did not want the tunnel. So I don't know where New York State got his idea that people in Buffalo, particularly those on the east side, and especially those on the Humboldt Parkway, wanted to endure a tunnel in their front yard.
So now they're going to go to public hearings. And Betty Jean, we heard so much about the last public hearings. People weren't being heard from. So when they start going around again, what do you expect? What do you want from the DOT this time around?
Well, you know what I want to expect, I want them to include other group other than they had one group who fought for years, and I give them credit, ROC, the Restore Community Coalition, fought for years to have something done to the Kensington Expressway. I'm glad that that we're all going to be at the table. There'll be many groups involved because, as we know, that expressway serves many individuals here in the city. So what I expect to see is a reset. I expect the Department of Transportation to hold those meetings, public engagement meeting. I expect them to do a comprehensive EIS with people who have suffered for years on an expressway, that their sickness and their illnesses be documented and be included in part of the environmental impact statement. There's no way that we should have been considering a tunnel and a part of an expressway that has documentation, the highest infant mortality in the United States, the highest rate of cancer and asthma in New York State, the highest rate of childhood diseases like leukemia and COPD for the older people. So I am happy that DOT is willing to say, you know what, we tried to force this on the community without the input. It didn't work. We're going to do it the right way. We're going to do an environmental impact statement. And I have, as you know, I'm running for office. I'm running for the second legislative district office in November, so I'll be on the ballot. I have my signs out already, and my sign says, Restore Humboldt Parkway. That's on the sign of all my campaign signs. So I am happy that the decision to do a reset, to do a comprehensive EIS is done, and would have community participation and community engagement.
Well, Betty Jean, I was just about to ask you about the campaign. And, would you like to see more elected officials this time around actually speak up, especially for the fill-in option, which seems to be getting more and more approval from people who live in on the east side of Buffalo, live along the 33?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That because, you know, we didn't have... They didn't have that chance to do so, and I'm glad that this opportunity is opening, and they're going to start fresh. And I was so happy to hear former Councilmember Rich Fontana said that the option to fill in is going to be considered, because that's all we wanted, that option to be considered, because once we knew that they had done the study, the history, that they had really done the environmental impact statement, then they would have known that the fill-in was the better option, the best option. And I think that we don't realize that highways are a thing of the past. Highway removals happen all across this country. There are 20,000 less people working downtown, and so there's 20,000 people probably will be utilizing an expressway or a highway. We want them to utilize those side radio streets like Walden Avenue, Broadway, Williams, that goes from City Hall all the way to Lancaster and beyond. But people can get out of Buffalo. Just think, Buffalo was almost 600,000 people at the height of the car in the 1950s. People had a way of getting out of Buffalo, and they took those routes, and they got out of Buffalo very well. And so I think if you look at it, we had less cars. We have less cars now than we had in 1950, and we're talking about public transportation. We're encouraging people to go on public transportation, extend public transportation to Cheektowaga, to Amherst, and to Tonawanda. There is a way that we can have the fill-in of the expressway for those trees to return. I spent most of my time campaigning on the Bidwell Parkway, the Jewett Parkway, and the Chapin Parkway. I spent my time mostly on the west side, and it's a different day and night. Just go down West Ferry, Joe, and hit Main Street and look both ways. If you look to the left, you will see East Ferry, and you will see no trees for blocks. And look to the right, you would see Linwood and Elmwood and Delaware on these fair wood trees, tree-lined street. The outrage that the people have that they are living in a city that has two different viewpoints. The east side of Buffalo has less money, less economics. It has been neglected. It has lost its trees. People, they're not planting trees on the east side. So I said to the community, we won today. We won today where DOT is willing to work and to meet and to sit with the community to ensure that there's community participation, community engagement, and the public service will be done.
Beijing Grant, appreciate the call as always. Let's go to, she's running for Erie County Legislature, and Michael Gaynor running for mayor of Buffalo. Michael, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. What's your reaction to the news today?
Yeah, my connection is great, is not great, but I'm hoping you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Michael, I can hear you loud and clear. What's your reaction to the DOT's announcement?
I'm going to have to call back.
All right. That's Michael Gaynor. I could tell he was having phone issues because his name kept appearing and disappearing. We will try to get Michael on tomorrow we'll try to get Michael on tomorrow if he wants to join us to kick off the show. We did have James Garner on yesterday. Obviously, open invitation to Sean Ryan, who our Lisa Polizzi asked to be on Hardline and he said no. So again, we'd like to know, does Sean Ryan have a reaction to this? I mean, he is in the Senate. He knows how this funding works. Does he have a reaction? He hasn't posted on social media since August 12th. Does Sean Ryan want to comment on this? Does Kathy Hochul want to comment on what she said in February of 24? Again, if you're just joining us and you missed this, this was the threat from Kathy Hochul. I remember I was in for David that day. This is the threat that Kathy Hochul made when going to announce. Remember, people were protesting. We don't want the toxic tunnel in our front yard. And she was she was asked about the people with protest signs. And this was the threat she made to those who were against the tunnel.
To lose $55 million from President Joe Biden, to lose $1 billion from the state of New York that was hard fought for, and to lose the momentum that has been created in the energy of this community, all because a handful of naysayers want to stop progress? No, we've done this before. We in Western New York are notorious for letting the voices of a few dominate the will of the majority. I will not let that happen.
So she said, if we don't do the tunnel, we're going to lose the funding. And then we heard today from the DOT, from Rich Fontana, that the funding, nothing's changed in the funding. So something, was she lying because she wanted to push the tunnel? Again, it seems like no one elected office wanted to speak out against the tunnel. So again, what does Governor Hochul have to say for that? What does Mark Poloncarz have to say? It says county. What does Mayor Scanlon have to say? And what does Sean Ryan? He's running for mayor. What does he have to say? And again, how much more money now? Because I'm of the belief, and this is no offense to Betty Jean Grant, this is no offense to anyone else, I have to say, I don't think anything's going to happen. Like, I think 20 years from now, everything will look the same. Michael Gaynor, we've only got a minute or so left. I can get you on the show tomorrow, but quickly, what's your reaction to the DOT's announcement?
Well, let me just tell you, we've been saying this all along because we understand the EIS process, that when Judge Kouliakoffo made his decision, that the tunnel was dead. And when you start an EIS, all options are on the table, and we're going to evaluate the best project that delivers economic vitality to our city and smooth, efficient flow of traffic and health for our communities. That's the big thing. And yes, not one elected official and not one that's running for office right now, other than myself, is willing to step forward and advocate for the best project. And I'm telling you, we're not going to be looking back on 20 years because we're going to elect a mayor that's going to take charge at City Hall, and he's going to deliver a product and a project for this city that is transformational. And we can talk about that more on your show tomorrow, but this is a hopeful sign from the DOT that we're going to have an option to discuss the best project for Buffalo, and the public is going to be heard. The public made this project happen. We sued the DOT. We pulled the people together because we knew that the tunnel was not in the best interest of our city and our communities, and we drove this change. And if they elect a mayor that's willing to go out and choose and advocate for the best project, we'll see a highway removal in Buffalo sooner and faster than they're projecting now, just like we saw them remove highways in Rochester and Syracuse and in other cities all across this country. We'll talk about the transportation. We'll talk about the flow. But right now we need a change in leadership, someone that's willing to articulate a project that's in the best interest of this community.
Michael Gaynor running for mayor of Buffalo. That's his initial thoughts on the DOT's announcement, and I'll reach out to him and try to get him on tomorrow. So, because I do have the questions, where does the traffic go? I know Betty Jean Grant said there's 25,000 less people going downtown. there's still traffic. There's still Sabre games. There's still events downtown. Not as many as there should be, and there's less and less business downtown. But again, I think if you completely deter traffic from going downtown, that's just going to be more bad news for downtown Buffalo. But I appreciate Betty Jean calling in and Michael Gaynor, and I know we'll talk to both of them before the election. Tom Bowerly is coming up next, and Tom, we've learned that the tunnel that I don't think anyone thought was actually going to happen is not going to happen.
Shocking. Shocking. I know, because I was thinking about that just when I got out of Bass Pro this morning. I heard you mention Bass Pro. But does anybody have any idea whether $1 billion would be enough to fill in Albany?
That would be a great use.
At least the state government building. Just fill it in and see what happens.
I'd be all for that. Let's just the assembly, the Senate, let's just fill it all in.
Yeah, I mean, it's conceivable for $1 billion. Yeah, we're going to continue talking about this. And, my proposal personally is that we ban all vehicular traffic in the city of Buffalo, and we all go back to riding horses, and we have buggies. I think it's time to bring back the Batavia to Williamsville, Williamsville to Buffalo stagecoach ride.
Hey, I live right down the street from some horses, Tom, so I guess I would have an advantage.
Oh, horse says. Okay, now I heard you. Okay, yes. We're going to talk about this situation because it's almost, I'm sorry, but it's almost laughable. And I can't use the exact line from Joe Pesci in the movie Casino, but remember the scene where he says, these guys would mess up a cup of coffee. And it's just so reminiscent of what I've just heard here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Sometimes great ideas come to Western New York and New York State to die, and sometimes bad ideas also come to New York State to die. And this was a bad idea that I think came to die.
There's that whole area, the 33 and the 198. We have seen bad idea after bad idea. Tom, looking forward to it.
Well, as I walk my goats on what used to be the 198, I'll think of you.
That is Tom Bowerly. He's coming up after the news with Tom Puckett. We will talk to you tomorrow at 1. Stay tuned for Tom Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.